A schoolie was in India with a flair for maths and science. There was usually only one sensible choice: get an engineering degree, which will almost guarantee a well-paid job in industry. In sharp contrast, natural science degrees such as physics have become viewed as something you might only do if you failed to get onto an engineering course.
In India, an engineering degree is worth just so much more in the job market compared to a physics degree.
I'm James Dacey, a reporter for Physics World, and I travelled to Mumbai to find out what motivates students in India and to see whether anything has been done to encourage more students to consider careers in physics. Here's Arnab Bhattacharya, a researcher who works in the south of Mumbai at the Tata Institute of Fundamental Research.
The people who are doing physics, they're really passionate about it because they would have most probably a lot of pressure within the family not to do science. I mean, please do engineering, please do medicine, please do IT, please do something that will get you a job, right? So most of the people you'll meet in an MSc physics, or at least, you know, if they've stuck around in physics till an MSc, is because they're passionately interested in it. Because otherwise it would be so much easier to do something that you would get money in.
Arnab studied engineering physics, but despite the pressure to go into industry, he chose to follow his passion and went into fundamental research. His institute, the TIFR, has a campus set away from the throngs of traffic on Mumbai's southern tip facing the Arabian Sea. Only the most dedicated students make it here to study on one of the master's or PhD programmes. I caught up with one of them, a PhD student in particle physics called Shonmoy Ganguly.
Yeah, I mean, like, for most of the people, the reaction is, okay, wow, you're doing something great. But I have a personal feeling that wow comes out of something they don't understand that might be something very great. That's the general reaction of people. But then there is a class of people will ask you, yeah, what is the career opportunity and how much money do you earn doing physics? So if you tell them, yeah, it's a moderate earning, some people might say, then it's not so exciting.
I heard what Shonmoy says about people's attitudes to careers for many other academics and students I met in India. Here, many people assume that a good technical student will naturally go and study engineering. The reason is that graduates from India's top engineering colleges can expect lucrative careers. They are the major source of new recruits for the engineering and information technology sectors, both of which have boomed during the past decade. But an exception to the norm is a student I met at the TIFR called Pratiksha Dungre. She's doing a master's in nanoelectronics and seems less bothered about making money and more concerned with using physics to help Indian society.
If somebody gets good marks in, let's say, 10th or 12th, people suggest them, okay, you should go to engineering, you will earn more, your life will be good. It's like that.
So do you think once you've finished the end of this year, do you think you'll continue studying physics, or will you go into industry, or do you have any idea yet what you're going to do?
I will be continuing in physics itself. I will join PhD after this. And my long-term goal is to make physics popular among people and to solve some problems that are very much faced in the society today, like energy problems are there and then waste disposal problems are there. So I think that physics can give some solution over it. So that's why I want to work in it.
Pratiksha is clearly a very enthusiastic student with a clear vision of how she can use physics to have a fulfilling career. This is no doubt helped by the fact that her father is a working physicist. But for many other students in India, part of the problem is that they are given no real idea of what a career in physics might involve. Here's what Arnab had to say about the issue.
Unfortunately, you know, the only impression a high school student has of physics is what is taught in a textbook. And at the high school level, it's just, I mean, physics is taught as a collection of formulae that need to be memorized to clear an exam. The excitement of physics is completely lost.
This feeling that students have lost interest in physics was also expressed to me by a physics lecturer. Jyoti teaches at a traditional university in the south of Mumbai called St. Xavier's. Located on a busy street near the city's biggest train station, it's a lot noisier here than at the Tata Institute.
And there's a very fixed, rigid curriculum which we teach. So in that sense, and also the students' quality is falling over the years. Nowadays, there are very few students who come who really have any you know, sharp understanding of physics or good ability to learn maths.
While I was at St. Xavier's, I also met some of its undergraduates. He told me that one of the problems is that the rigid timetable from Monday to Saturday leaves them with little free time to develop a personal interest in physics.
Because like our college is like 6 days a week. So it's like 6 days, and even if you get a Sunday, you're like so tired, you just feel like not doing anything sometimes. So it's like you don't really have some specific time which you can dedicate yourself to just read up on the stuff which you like. So that becomes a problem to handle, manage between your college work, coursework, and your, what, at that moment, what you just feel like studying.
Comparing the hustle and bustle of St. Xavier's with the serene campus at the TIFR gave me an insight into the extremes of Mumbai. Travelling through the city, you see these extremes often right next to each other, like luxury office blocks just around the corner from people who live and work on the streets. There are 12.5 million people living in the city, and many more in the metropolitan area. Among this sheer density of people, there can be great competition to use your education to rise up in society by making money. One way to do this is to study engineering. My next stop in India was to travel by train 3 hours southeast to the city of Pune. Here I met a student who did work in engineering, but then decided to change her career and become a physics researcher.
So I wasn't really aware of all the basic sciences program. So it wasn't like I was amazingly interested in physics at that point of time. It just that I wasn't aware enough. And then I just joined engineering because that's what the rest of the people were doing. So
Pallavi studied in Mysore for a bachelor's in engineering before going on to work for 2 years in the software industry in Bangalore. But she has now given this up to study for a PhD at the Inter-University Centre for Astronomy and Astrophysics.
I didn't think I would be working in that for the next 10 years or 20 years of my life. So I just said, okay, let's see what else can I do. I wanted to be more creative.
Mm. Do you find physics allows you to be creative, doing this kind of thing you're doing now?
Yes. It's very satisfying in the sense that I'm thinking every day, I'm thinking about a problem, even if it's the smallest detail, I'm thinking about it, and it's like really allows me to be creative.
Hmm.
Another PhD student at this centre is Varun Balayrao. Despite an early interest in astronomy, he ended up going to study electrical engineering. He got a bachelor's degree at the Indian Institute of Technology in Mumbai, one of the most prestigious engineering colleges in India. But after graduating, he surprised people by deciding to return to his childhood passion, studying the night sky.
So I was very sure that I want to have a higher degree, a more advanced degree. I did have an offer, for example, from Texas Instruments because we had a mandatory internship period and I'd worked with Texas Instruments. And they were shocked when they heard that I want to do a PhD in astronomy. Because it just didn't add up. Why would an electrical engineering student want to go to astronomy? I must confess, I did apply both to electrical engineering grad schools and astronomy grad schools because at that time I was still unsure which way to go. But by the time the results came in, I was sure that I wanted to go forward with astronomy.
My time in Pune coincided with the Hindu festival Ganesh Chaturthi. The city was a spectacular sight, as colourful idols of the elephant-headed god Ganesha were displayed in temples across town. And people poured onto the streets to celebrate and make offerings. But, like devoted academics around the world, most of the researchers I met at the Astronomy Centre stayed away from the festivities and preferred to get on with their work in the sanctuary of the academic campus. This thirst for knowledge for its own sake is certainly not valued by all in Indian society. But the Indian government is starting to recognise the need for the type of work that goes on at fundamental science centres. The situation was described to me by the academic L.S. Shasidhara. I went to visit him on my next stop in Pune, where he works as the Dean of Research at a centre called the Indian Institute of Science Education and Research. His centre is a new initiative to revamp science education in the country.
For example, if you look at the current problem of pharma industry or automobile industry or IT industry, is they do not have sufficient number of trained people to do R&D work. Okay, so for example, they are happy to manufacture any number of cars in this country, but to design a new car, you know, they don't have, you know, people who have sufficient knowledge of aerodynamics or, you know, heat transfer or whatever it is required for that purpose. Similarly, in IT industry, we do have a large number of people who can to write programs, but we don't have theoretical computer science or mathematicians who can think of new algorithms to develop a new program.
Shasid Hara's Institute is one of five such centres opened since 2007, each receiving around $200 million over their first 10 years from the Indian government. The five ICES, as they are known, are designed to encourage more students to consider careers in science research. Whereas at most traditional universities in India, students learn from lecturers who are not directly involved in science research. At the ICES, the teachers have the time and resources to carry out research. The students are immersed in this science research throughout their study programmes and given the flexibility to pursue their personal scientific interests.
This is not really a university, this is actually a research institute. So our way of doing things is what's known as a role models concept. So if researchers are doing high quality work and if they are, you know, continuously excited, PhD students are, you know, excited about what they are doing and constantly talking about their work, undergraduate students who come into this area, when they get sort of motivated to take up research as a career, there will be a spillover effect on that. And the second is, most important is learning by doing research. All our undergraduate students, they do, you know, projects, research projects throughout their 5-year, you know, degree program. In fact, the fifth year, the entire year is for research. So in the process, they actually learn research methodology, philosophy of research, what is hypothesis, how to, you know, construct an hypothesis, and how to, you know, collect evidence or prove or disprove an hypothesis and kind of stuff. So basically the history and philosophy and, you know, the methodology of science.
The ICES were founded under the government of Manmohan Singh, the current Prime Minister. In a speech at the start of 2011 to the Indian Science Congress, Singh lauded the ICES. He believes they will help for the 2010s to be a decade of innovation, to diversify the Indian economy into one that is powered by creativity and new products, not just the engineering services sector. The students I met at ICES Pune seem to be thriving on the practical style of learning at these institutes. They are particularly excited about the opportunities to do extra projects in the holidays.
That's the best part of ICER, it's hands down. You see what you're doing. Your professors are doing research in their labs and they're teaching what they're learning and what they have read. So that we directly study from papers and the paper discussions, and they insist on us taking up projects during our summers and vacations or during our semesters as well. And so we learn more on, you know, more in the lab than in the class.
The summer projects are some of the best things that we have here because, you know, our regular classwork, I mean, we do have lectures. You listen to what they say and then you have tutorials, you have exams and all these things are there. But in those summer projects, you work on something, the tutor, the mentor, he is his specialty, and then, you know, you learn a lot, basically. So.
The full impact of the ICES on India's higher education system will take many years to determine. But of the first two batches of graduates from ICES Pune, some 70% have gone on to do a science PhD, and a further 10% are involved in industrial research and design. This is significantly higher than the number of graduates from conventional universities in India who decide to stay in academic science. Shasid Hara believes that the ICES could do for Indian science what the Indian Institutes of Technology did for engineering.
So if you look at what happened in 50s and 60s when IITs were set up, they created some of the best skilled people. They, you know, provided, you know, leadership in technical development of this country as well as outside world. And then you're looking at IITs, so many colleges produced engineering students. They are the ones who finally made what India is currently, right? So similarly, we expect that if our students are successful, our model is successful, there will be large number of this kind of, you know, institutes will come up. And so then thousands of people will come out of this system.
I set out to meet students in India and to find out what it means to choose physics in this country. There's no doubt from what I've seen that engineering courses still reign supreme in India, at the expense of pure science degrees such as physics. But the vast majority of physics students I met were incredibly passionate about the subject. They've chosen physics despite the pressure to do otherwise. It also seemed to me that the Indian government is starting to recognise the need to reform the education system. If the political will can be maintained, then it is possible that places such as the ISERS could inspire more students to consider careers in science research. I'm James Dacey, reporting for Physics World.